Alleluia. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. We do gather together today in the name of the living Christ to worship God with one another, and we worship in spirit and in truth. Let us begin our worship with prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, we gather together to marvel at the mystery of Christ's resurrection. In boldness, you exalted the humble, empowering the weak. In strength, you snatched victory from the jaws of death. In love, you declared your crucified Son the Savior of the world. We celebrate this good news on this glorious Easter day. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. We welcome all of you to our worship service today here at Parma Christian Church, those who are both in person with us and those who are worshiping with us virtually through Facebook Live. You are welcome to join us here on Facebook Live every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. For any visitors who are joining with us today, I'm Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist and pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our IT technician and videographer. And our elder for the day is Kim Wainwright. There are several items I want to remind you of as we worship together this morning, both in person and at home, virtually. We will be celebrating communion with one another today because we believe communion is an important part of our weekly worship services with one another. And I invite you to use whatever you may have with you at home for the bread and the cup. For those of you who are here, I hope you picked up one of our communion cups as you came in. One side has the bread in it and the other side has the juice. At the end of worship today, we would invite you to drop that disposable communion cup in the trash can as you exit worship. Would remind you of offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated as it keeps our ministry here at Parma Christian Church going. If you are present with us, you may drop your offering off in the basket or in the tray as you exit worship today. If you're worshiping with us online, you may use our online giving tool, which is found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org, or mail in your offering to 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. For those of us who are worshiping here in the sanctuary this morning, to ensure the health and safety of everyone in attendance, we ask that you please follow all COVID-19 safety protocols. Please wear your mask at all times. You may lower your mask for communion only. Please stay at least 6 feet away from other worshipers who are not in your family unit or who do not come with you. We invite you to share a friendly hello by waving at each other. We remind you that it's important not to shake hands or hug anyone who is not in your family unit. Because we do know that COVID is spread mainly through aerosol particles, we will not be singing with one another while we worship together today. Also, when we come to the time of the Lord's Prayer, I invite you to whisper that quietly to yourself as we recite that together. When the service is concluded, we do ask that you do not continue to remain in the sanctuary to visit. We will leave the sanctuary by having the rows exit from the back to the front. We do want to remind everyone that even though many of us are vaccinated, being vaccinated is not a health requirement to attend worship. And anyone who is not, because of that, we want to make sure that everyone is safe. And we do know that even being vaccinated is not 100% a cure for COVID-19. So whether you're vaccinated or not, we must follow all safety guidelines at all times. Let us continue our worship with some music. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. On Thursday, we remembered the story of Jesus and his disciples as they ate their last meal together. And then on Friday, we heard again about Jesus' death on the cross. Today, we rise early to go with the women to the tomb. Hear now the scripture from God's holy word. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on that first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you just to Galilee, just as he told you. There you will see him." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever watched a movie that had an ending that left you wanting more? Or that left you with more questions than answers? You know, one of those artsy type of films that are made to get you thinking and talking and not just for pure enjoyment. Chris and I watched a movie recently called The Bookshop that certainly left us with more questions than answers as the credits rolled on the screen. And while we were left somewhat unsatisfied, the movie definitely left its mark on us and kept us talking about it for quite a while. Perhaps that's what Mark was doing in writing this somewhat unsatisfactory ending for his gospel. You see, the person that we call Mark, because we're not really sure of his actual name, Mark, he wrote the first of all the Gospels that was written. Even though it may come second in the order of the New Testament, it was actually written about 50 years after Jesus' death. And it is certainly different from all of the other Gospels. It is a book that has no birth story, no baby lying in the manger, no wise men. And it is in this book that we get the shortest of the resurrection stories. And it's not quite what we expect. We find the women heading to the tomb to embalm the body, as it were, done at that time, something that occurred after the body was placed in the tomb. It was wrapped in spices. But when the women arrive at the tomb, they see that the stone is already rolled away. And there is this man in a white robe, which is the biblical code word for an angel. This man appears, and they were terrified. Does this remind you of other Bible stories that you know? You know, in Luke's birth story, every time the angel appears to Mary, or in Matthew's birth story, every time the angel appears to Joseph, and then after Jesus' birth, the angel has to tell those shepherds, "Do not be afraid." So again, this man in white tries to reassure the women, and he tells them to not be afraid. The women find out that Jesus is not there in the tomb, that Jesus of Nazareth is missing, and instead, he's actually risen from the dead. And the response is one of terror and amazement from them. and then also silence. An absolutely appropriate response given the message that they just received. For the person that they had known and had followed and had shared meals with, and he isn't there. Someone that they had come to know and love, and someone who they were weeping over his death, his body is not there. They are told he is risen. Their sheer silence and terror and amazement allows this message to reverberate in the story. Unlike the other gospels, this is where our story ends. There's no tomb encounter with the risen Jesus. There's no further recounting of what happened. He is simply risen. The women are in terror and amazement. The end. So, yes, if you look in your gospel, there are verses that follow our story today in Mark, but you'll see them listed as the short ending and the longer ending. And scholars through the ages have agreed that those verses were not original to the gospel and were added much later because, like us, those who came after were left wondering and they wanted more, so they wrote more. The original text ends with terror and amazement. The end of the story. The women fled the tomb in terror and amazement, and that's the end of the story. Roll the credits. Mark's gospel is done. We hear that the resurrected Jesus is going ahead to Galilee, but that's all we get. We don't get details. We don't get an explanation. What we get is mystery. What we get is wonder. What we get is our ability to then enter the story. As theological scholar and pastor David Lose puts it, resurrection isn't a conclusion, it's an invitation. And Jesus' triumph over death, sin, and hate isn't what Mark's gospel is all about. Mark's gospel is all about setting us up to live the resurrection in our lives and to continue the story of God's redemption in the world. Now, we obviously get the benefit of having the rest of the story revealed to us through the other gospels and through Paul's letters. We know that the women in Mark's gospel do not remain silent forever. Yet we are left with the question of why did Mark end his gospel that way? Why are we left in terror and amazement with the women who have discovered an empty tomb? There are many theories out there about why Mark ended his gospel this way, and of course I have my own, and I guess you probably do too. But who knows which one of these theories is correct? And does it really matter which one is right? Not really. What matters is that we explore these thoughts and explanations with one another, just like a movie that leaves us with an unsettled feeling or with more questions than answers. This ending of Mark's gospel is meant to get us talking about the resurrection. It's meant to get us to share our own understandings of who Jesus is and how Jesus is present to us in our lives. It's meant to get us to open up about our own fears, our own terrors, and maybe even our own doubts. In many ways, the Gospel of Mark is the gospel that the church, and by church I mean the collective universal church of our day, it is the gospel that we need at this time. In many ways, we, the church universal, are a lot like those women at Christ's tomb on Easter morning. We know the story. We know that Jesus is resurrected. We know that Christ has overcome death and the grave, yet we are terrified. We are terrified because the world around us is changing so fast. that we do not know how to share this story any longer. We do not know how to share the good news of Jesus in this time, in this place, in this world. We do not know how to share the amazing story of Jesus with a new generation. What has worked for us in the past no longer works the way it once did as we watch church membership across the United States dip below 50% of people in the U.S. for the first time in our memory. We are like those women who know the story, but we are too terrified to share it. Yet, we are also like those women who have heard the angel say, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." We know that Jesus is going ahead of us. Jesus is preparing the way for the story to continue to be told from generation to generation. Jesus is preparing the way for us. We may be hesitant about that change. We may even doubt the necessity of change in our world. But the resurrected Jesus is already moving beyond our hesitancy, is already moving beyond our doubts to prepare the way for the story to be told and shared in new ways. The risen Christ is ready and waiting for us, preparing the way. The risen Christ is prepared to reveal the story of God's amazing love in new ways to a new generation of believers. Even in our fear of the unknown, we can rest assured that the risen Christ will appear to us and to others. How then does the risen Christ appear to us? The risen Christ is known when we see butterflies and bees dancing around spring flowers. The risen Christ is known when we share what we have with those who are in need. The risen Christ is known when we provide welcome to those who are struggling. The risen Christ is known when we forgive. The risen Christ is known when we fully love ourselves. The risen Christ is known when we take up our cross and follow. The risen Christ is known when love casts out fear. The risen Christ is known when we learn to fully love our enemies. The risen Christ is known when we put the needs of the poor and oppressed above our own wants and fears. The risen Christ is known when we love our neighbors, every last one of them, including the ones who don't look like us, sound like us, worship like us, dress like us, and that list can go on and on. The risen Christ is known when our children and elderly and the vulnerable feel safe and cared for. The risen Christ is known when hope springs up from the bleakest of situations. The risen Christ is known when God's love is felt by everyone, no exceptions. The risen Christ is known when we allow transformation to happen despite our fears. Friends, we don't need to solve the mystery that Mark leaves us hanging with. We don't need to provide an explanation for something that Mark does not provide. Instead, we can stand in amazement in the face of this unexpected event of the resurrection. We are to face this beautiful day and be not afraid. We are to live the resurrection, to help the risen Christ to be known in our world. For Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. For those of you who are at home, I invite you to list in the comment section the names of those that you want us to lift up in prayer today, and we will pray for them this week. We lift up the following prayer concerns. Bob, Alice's friend Cindy and Cindy's daughters, Helene's grandson Logan, Pam's mother Betty, Carol, Kathy, Marianne's mother Ida, Julie's friend Audrey, Jackie and her daughter Nicole, Terry, Burday's brother Clyde, Rob's wife Cindy, Marty's brother Mark, and the Marchese family. We pray for all who have been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19 over this past year. We pray for all who are affected by the economic impact of the pandemic. And we also pray for our country that we might continue, or that we might learn to see one another as valued children of God. Let us go to God together in prayer this morning. Righteous and ever-living God, on this day your Son shattered the power of death, bringing life and immortality to light. On this day of all days in human history, help us not to miss the power of its significance. Give us Easter's holy power to adequately praise you and to rejoice in the new life that is ours. Intensify our joy in the resurrection that turned night into light and mourning into laughter. May our lives that often seem dull and drab be made new, even as we go about our daily tasks. Open our eyes to the new possibilities of a world made fresh with praise. Give us the power of the resurrection which broke the reign of death to shatter every ancient tyranny that entombs your children. The intrigues of war, the subtlety of vested interests, racist pride, and ambitious self-seeking, and to break the enslaving shackles of debilitating doubts, persistent sins, wavering self-respect, diminishing integrity, and ever-deepening bitterness. Give us, we pray, the victory of Easter that turned a cross into a resurrection and made the symbol of shame into the sign of victory, to gain triumph from our worst defeats, to turn darkness to day, to make temptations into redemptive opportunities, to transform tragedy into faith, freshly made graves into hope, and all bitterness to love. Give us the peace of the resurrection that calmed the terrorized hearts of your children, and as we wait upon you, speak calm to our souls. Because Christ lives, we too shall live, and so we rejoice. Until the day dawns, grant us brave hearts and constant spirits as we lift our hearts to you in praise and thanksgiving, through Christ our Lord. He is the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For those of you at home, you're invited at this time to gather a piece of bread and a cup of juice so that you can participate in Holy Communion with us. Thank you.